You have your Bibles there. I would like to turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, I'd like to read verses 1 through 22 for our text this evening. There it is. Listen closely now. This is God's inspired and inerrant word, and it is for us, his people, here this evening. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down. He brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and shadow of death. He broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities that were afflicted, their souls abhorred all manners of food. They drew near to the gates of death, and they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would pour out your Spirit upon us to illuminate our hearts and minds to your truth here this evening, that Christ would be lifted up, and the gospel might be proclaimed, that we would be changed by the time that we spend in your presence under your word. We thank you, Father, for your word and for your Spirit, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This lament is repeated three times in our text today and four times in the whole psalm. As we draw near to the Thanksgiving holiday, it's good for us to be reminded about the importance of giving thanks to whom our thanks is to be expressed, not only on a holiday, but continually, as well as for those blessings that we receive daily from his hand. In this psalm, David, under The infallible inspiration of the Holy Spirit expresses his deep heartfelt thankfulness to the Lord for his great works of deliverance of his chosen people. He speaks of God delivering them from the hand of their enemy. He speaks of God directing them through the wilderness and satisfying the longings of their souls. He also speaks of God saving his people by the power of his word through their distresses and delivering them from their destruction. David, in his psalm of thanksgiving to God for delivering Israel as a nation, has application beyond what God did for his covenant people in Israel by bringing them out of their bondage in Egypt. And that application what God has done for the nation of Israel in redeeming them from their bondage in Egypt, from their worldly enemies under the old covenant, is a shadow and type of what he will do for his church as a whole in delivering her from her bondage of sin, and what he will continue to do in defeating her enemies through his son, Jesus Christ, in the new covenant. In other words, what God has done for his people in Israel, as we see and read in the Old Testament, he has done and is doing for his people, the church, today, and will continue to do until he returns to judge the nations and receive his people to himself for all eternity. This psalm is about our call to be a thankful people. By the repeated lament, which says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men," we can understand that thanksgiving must have been lacking among the people of God in David's time, something that we can observe in our time as well, maybe even in our own lives. When we're not thankful to God, we're at least indirectly saying or implying that we deserve all the goodness of God that he, in he some ways, owes us, the wonderful works that he supplies to us each and every day. If we are honest with ourselves, we too often take God's grace for granted. We take for granted his mercy. We take for granted his provision. We take for granted his goodness toward us. So here in Psalm 107, we are reminded of what God has done for us, and we are given instruction concerning the areas that we should particularly be thankful for before God. The first area which we are to give thanks is not for the good things that we have received. That's naturally where we tend to go when we give thanks to God. But the first place that he calls us to go is to give thanks to God, for God, the good giver, who has graciously given all those good things to us. He says in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." In the New Testament, it's put this way in 1 John 1:5. "And this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." We are to give thanksgiving to God for being good. God is good. He is perfect in holiness and mercy. In saying that God is good, the psalmist is summing up the whole character of God in one simple expression: he is good. If that were not true, we could have no confidence in the promises of God, and we could have no assurance of our salvation, because there would be this possibility that God would change his mind and pull a cruel joke on all humanity by promising salvation and then delivering only condemnation. God is not only perfectly good, perfect in his goodness, but his mercies endure forever. God will not just be good for a while, but his goodness is shown most clearly in his mercies, his loving kindness. Through his grace in his Son, Jesus Christ, achieving salvation for his people, that mercy will last forever. You see, in the God of the Bible, there is no darkness, no evil at all. And for that, we are to give thanks. In verses 2 and 3, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Thanksgiving for the goodness of God is to be verbally expressed by those who have directly benefited from God's goodness. Those people are the redeemed of the Lord. If the people of God who owe him all, that they have and all that they are in this world, if they owe that, if they will not praise him for that, then who will? We should say so. We should express from our hearts our thankfulness to God continually, because we are blessed continually. We receive his mercies continually. And we should do so in the assembly of God's people for the building up and strengthening of one another to his glory. Why the assembly? Because in the assembly, our thanksgiving comes to a greater expression when we can give than we can give individually. Thanksgiving is also to be expressed, an expression of the church, the assembly, whenever it meets together. Maybe you've experienced it yourself whenever you might have come to worship on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, and your spirit has been down, but you come and you begin to sing the hymns and begin to hear people praise God and give him thanksgiving, and it builds up your spirit. It lifts you up. That's a part of the blessing of being God's people and being able to worship and praise him and give him thanks in the assembly. And we should also testify to the goodness of God to the lost world, that they may turn to Christ and experience the goodness of God also. So our thanksgiving should begin with being thankful to the person and goodness of God, from whom flows the salvation and the blessings that we all receive in Christ Jesus to his glory. Verses 4 through 9. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. The Israelites were brought out of their captivity in Egypt into the wilderness, where they found no city to dwell in. They longed for such a city where their physical needs could be met, a place where they could call their own. Hungry and thirsty, it says in verse 5, their soul fainted in them. They were looking for the city of Zion, the city of God, which later turned out to be the city of Jerusalem. They did not find that city, though, in the wilderness. That city that they saw, that they thought would be the answer to their survival. So they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and God delivered them out of their distresses. God is always ready to and willing to answer the prayers of his people, which are according to his will. If you remember, God did not grant their desire, even their laments, their prayers to return to Egypt, where there were leeks and onions and meat in the pots, because that wasn't according to God's will. But when God's people pray according to and seeking his will, he will answer and lead in the right way. God led them, in verse 7, God led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. God led them to the promised land, to the city of God, to Jerusalem. He delivered them to the city by the right way, by his way. But in the plan of God, the journey through the wilderness and the city of Jerusalem represented something eternal and much more significant. They were earthly shadows of a heavenly reality. They pointed to something greater than themselves. Speaking of the faith of Abraham and Enoch and Noah, and Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, we read in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, these words. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they called it to mind, that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desired a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What the children of Israel sought while they were in the wilderness represented a heavenly country. The city which God prepared for his people is a place where he can only be entered through the Savior, Jesus Christ. John 10:9 says, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Again, the writer of Hebrews opens this up for us who belong to Christ even more in chapter 12, beginning with verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched or that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of trumpet and voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if such as a beast touch the mountains, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator, the one of the new covenant, and to the blood that speaks of better things than that of Abel. God, whose goodness is upon those whom he redeems, has brought them out of the wilderness, out of their sin, out, and has delivered them to a new city, to a new heavenly Jerusalem. He has judged them in Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. It is this city, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that God says in our text in verse 9, satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. God has done this by leading us in the right way. Not that we were so smart that we figured it out ourselves. God led us in the right way. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What the Israelites sought in the wilderness, we who belong to Christ by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from any works, have been brought to and have received a heavenly kingdom. We have received it. We're not yet fully embraced in that, but we have received it. Hebrews 12:29. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Continuing on, verse 10 through 16. Those who sat in darkness and the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there were none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. The people rebelled against the word of God and scorned his counsel. The Israelites in the wilderness rebelled against the word of God and were not thankful. They were in bondage to their own rebellion and were not thankful. They were afflicted in darkness and in the shadow of death. Here we see in verses 10 through 16 that God chastens his people because he is good and because his mercy endures forever. We should never think that God is chastening us because he has this evil intent or other than a holy intent and love to chasten us. It's because he's good. It's because his mercy endures forever. Hebrews 12:6 again. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And for that we should be thankful. In Egypt, God brought down their hearts with labor, and there was none to help. Verse 13, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distresses. Again, God is ready and willing and does answer prayer that is according to his word and his counsel. Nothing can stand in the way of God bringing his people into their heavenly country. Jesus, reading from the book of Isaiah in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, he's when he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it again to the attendant and sat down, and his eye and the eyes of all were on him in the synagogue. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You see, what God did for his people Israel, he has done for his people the church in Jesus Christ. He has liberated them from their sins, done in rebellion against God's word, against his counsel. He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. He has set us at liberty from the prince of darkness and to serve the King of kings and Lord of lords, our Savior. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verses 17 through 22. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all manners of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who are spoken of as fools in the scripture are those not of low intelligence, but are those that are perverse. The perverse are those who make themselves spiritually sick and sometimes physically sick, even near the gates of death because of their transgression, of their iniquities, because they have rebelled against the word and counsel of God. We've all been there. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. We've all been there. What the psalmist is speaking of here are those afflicted and the afflictions and ailments that come as a result of disobedience. They are self-inflicted sicknesses, being physical or spiritual. Again, God allows his people to go through such ordeals because he is good and his mercies endure forever. For in these things, his people cry out to him and he delivers them from their distresses. And he does this by sending his word to heal him. The living word, Jesus Christ. In Matthew 8:8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus did this that. God has given us his word in the scripture, and that word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. That scripture, and the scripture tells us that it is by his stripes we are healed. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In verse 22, we are given further instructions. It says, let them sacrifice sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. As in verse 2, this word calls us to declare the goodness of God and his mercy endures forever. And here in verse 22, we are to declare his works with rejoicing. We are to give the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So when we give thanks to the Lord, it is, I don't want to say equivalent, but it pictures the sacrifice of the old covenant where the smoke would rise up into heaven, the prayers of God's people. We are to give the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's important for us to do so. Hebrews 13:15 says, Therefore, by him, let us continually offer this sacrifice of praise to God, that this, the fruit of our lips, give thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You see, if we're just giving God lip service in our thanksgiving, then that's not quite what he's looking for either. Our thanksgiving is to be accompanied by not forgetting to do good and to share. The sacrifices of thanksgiving are our praises to God, giving thanks to his name, and doing good and sharing, being glad and rejoicing in the privilege of knowing and serving our glorious God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the sacrifice with which God is well pleased. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Do you recognize God's goodness? Do you really appreciate his wonderful works toward you in and through Christ Jesus? Or is this lament of the psalmist here for you? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. With that attitude in our hearts, it should elevate our worship every week. It's my prayer that each time that we gather together, it would be Thanksgiving Day, where we would say so joyfully and enthusiastically, and that this Thanksgiving, rejoicing for God's goodness and his wonderful works toward us, will characterize our worship, our prayer meetings, our homes, our lives as the redeemed people of God. Let's pray. Our glorious God, we thank you again. We thank you for who you are as our God and our Redeemer, that you are good, and that your mercies endure forever toward us. We pray, Father, that you would be working a work in our hearts, that we should not take your grace toward us for granted, that we would seek opportunities to give you thanks, recognizing all the good gifts that you give to us, and that we might be truly a thankful people. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.